Event Report 03. Hello again. Thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. I am Marie. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of December 15, 2024. This is a direct continuation of the second part, Space News 54, Event Report 02. Towards the end of November, I was slowly improving my condition. While on board the starship Alcyone, I was still suffering from excruciating abdominal pains, especially after eating. Strangely, I felt a lot of hunger and I ate fine, as the problem was not in my stomach. My pains and problems started when the food passed my stomach towards the intestines. When I was even worse, and still on the starship Sardaclea, while I was trying to survive the night with such strong abdominal pains, I continuously twisted and turned my entire body, instinctively looking for relief, and this to the point where I hurt myself as I pulled several muscles, which later, now on the Alcyone, were giving me additional problems. I felt Starship Alcyone very cold inside, and it was making my ache worse, so I asked one of the guards outside my room if they had a solarium on board, somewhere to take some sunlight, and his answer ashamed me a bit, he said. No, my queen, we do not have a solarium, as this is a warship, not a yacht. Anyhow, I talked to Dr. Carrez, who offered me a special therapeutic machine I could go into that would emulate sunlight. I accepted. It was a stretcher bed encapsulated in glass, yet I could sit up if I wanted to, and two rotating rectangular lamps slowly went around me, heating me. It felt very nice, perhaps too nice. I spent the next 3 days going into the machine only to feel slightly better because of the warmth, until I burned my skin, fortunately, not badly, and that was the end of me in that machine. One of the things that characterized this series of stomach problems, astrally induced apparently, is that the recovery time is very long. This was observed in every Sardaclea crew member as well as myself. By this time, Goriel sent a team to fetch my computers from the Sardaclea, for me to continue with my videos. I thought they would bring my computers all disconnected, needing to be reinstalled in a new place, but, no, what they did was to immerse my entire desk, computers, and all, in some kind of blue foam I had never seen before. My desk arrived as a blue monolith block, and I could barely see inside to see its contents because it was semi-transparent. Goriel's crew brought something that looked like a big hairdryer, which quickly blew and disintegrated the blue foam away, leaving my desk intact, and just as I had left it on the Sardaclea, only leaving a mild alcohol smell with something else, that evaporated very fast. As I didn't need to go into complicated connections, I could start writing nearly immediately. As it was determined that there was no contagious pathogen on board the starship Sardaclea, Captain Thales of the starship Asterope, which is nearly identical to the starship Alcyone, sent two full military detachments, with 40 people each, to back up Captain Goriel's personnel on the Sardaclea. They arrived at the Sardaclea's main hangar, and they lifted their tents and camp, as a base, right behind the tents from the Alcyone, just as those had done before. The ship was now boiling with activity and medical staff who attended to our sick friends as best as possible. Things on board the Sardaclea started to get more complicated when Captain Thales and Captain Goriel were forced to initiate a full investigation into what had happened on board, including who was responsible for what, including a legal context as well. All communications of the starship Sardaclea were cut, including muon, microwaves and human internet, isolating the crew, and preventing anyone responsible for the astral attack from communicating with any exterior forces. All communications from the starship Sardaukleia were military and only came from the forward operating bases installed in the hangar deck. Then the military personnel of the starships Alcyone and Asterope systematically questioned each original Sardaukleia crew member to see who was responsible for what. It was at this point that three crew members were taken into custody, basically under arrest. Doctors Sene Trey and Kara were accused of medical malpractice, probably with evil intentions, and Chief Engineer Zykira, who was accused of altering the mechanics of the dry medical pod that was used to treat me. This with a lot of drama and tears, as you can imagine. Captain Goriel's team found that the medical pod which was repetitively used to treat me while I was on board the Sardaukleia had been altered on purpose, for it to provide destructive frequencies and not healing ones, this aimed at making me very sick and worse. Despite how bad this was, Chief Engineer Zykira was quickly liberated with no charges, when Dr. Sene Trey inadvertently volunteered that she had tampered with the mechanics of the medical pod. Doctors Sene Trey and Kara faced more serious charges, sickening an entire crew, and a murder attempt against the Taygetan Queen. Sene Trey stated that she was forced to alter the mechanics as the pods all tended to return to neutral on their own, thus not providing any healing frequencies at all, so she had altered the frequency control mechanism so it would not move. She stated that although destructive frequency programming was found in the medical pod I was placed in, those were not in use when I was in them, as the pod performs an automatic frequency sweep each time it is turned off. This is also a reason why she tampered with the mechanism. Another problem Sene Trey and Kara declared is that when the Sardaukleia arrived to replace the aging Talika, she was equipped with the latest and most advanced medical pods, and the two doctors could not understand the new system, as it is very different from the one used in the medical pods of older ships, like the Talika. They did not come with an instruction manual, as they stated. Despite how bad the charges against the two medical doctors were, Goriel and Thale's military legal team let Sene Trey and Kara go a few days later. The legal team concluded that they acted under an induced trance coming from a very strong source, as the consequence of an elaborate astral attack, and they were not directly at fault, as they were acting only as mindless puppets. Yet they were both prohibited from coming close to me again. The rest of the Sardaukleia's crew were also extensively questioned and placed under investigation, very much to their annoyance and discontent. This meant that they couldn't leave their private rooms freely while the inquiries were ongoing, and as they repetitively expressed, this was too much and unnecessary. It was at this point when little Yaji Sophia was discovered playing a clapping game that included singing kindergarten lyrics with two military guards, which were later reprehended for inappropriate behavior. When Captain Goriel arrived at the scene to see what was going on, Yaji Sophia tried to play the same with him, but he was not amused. The very next day, on November 25th, Yaji Sophia was gone. She simply vanished into thin air, not having said goodbye to anyone. Although Yaji Sophia disappearing sometimes is not something unusual, and therefore the joke we always said on Talika and Sardaukleia, where is Worley, this time she is taking way too long to return. It has been 20 days since she disappeared, and we are all worried for her. By this time, Goriel and Thales explained to me that I shouldn't return to the starship Sardaukleia with my old friends, as it was unsafe for me, to say the least. With Protocol 827 activated, I couldn't return to a crew that had been proven incompetent. Even if saying these words hurts, it is the truth, they were incompetent. The entire team and crew of the Sardaukleia, as you know them from the Talika, as they are the same people, were legally declared as not fit for running a starship. Should they choose to remain in service on board the Sardaukelea or any other starship, they would have to accept a full crew which would be assigned to them. As for me as the Taygetan Queen, I could not stay for long on board the starship Alcyone, as it was unfit for my requirements. It was not only uncomfortable for me, which is not that important as I ended up loving my stay on board, but it had no usable space for me to have an office, or for me to have my entire wardrobe and further equipment, such as these digital computers I used to write and make my videos on. I could not return to the Sardaukelea, and I could not stay on the Alcyone for long, but fortunately, there was another ship, finishing its trials right here, full of cadets running it, and with no definitive crew, not even an officially appointed captain. After considering my options, Captains Goriel and Thales of the starship Asterope, as well as Goriel's first officer, Maxel, decided that it was best for me to take over the brand new starship, Big E, and move there permanently. As a Talika II, or Sardaukelea class heavy cruiser, and an exact sister ship of the Sardaukelea, it is fully equipped as a yacht, being that it is nearly identical to the Sardaukelea inside, and in equipment. Goriel promoted his very experienced and best friend Maxel to full captain, and gave him command over Starship Big E. Maxel, Max for short, would be my captain, and conveniently he is in a long-term relationship with Dr. Carez, who together with Dr. Zari, who also attended my needs when I was terribly sick, would come with me to the Big E as part of my new crew. Captain Goriel, who is a Grade 5 captain in the Taygetan fleet, which is the equivalent of an admiral in human terms, communicated to Temma and to all his military friends in all other Taygetan vessels, requesting highly experienced volunteers to come to crew the starship Sardaukelea and Big E. Captains Goriel and Thales, of the Asterope, as well as their medical and legal teams, strongly advise me not to include any member of the Sardaukelea in my new crew, even if they are close friends of mine. This is for my protection. As I would have to move to the starship Big E and make it my flagship, after all, I gave it its name. I would have to gather an entire new crew, all under the coordination and protection of Goriel's and Thales' teams from the Alcyone and the Asterope. Goriel's request was met with a lot of enthusiasm from all the other ships of the Taygetan fleet, who quickly provided volunteers, who gathered in Talika City Spaceport, awaiting transportation here. While all this was going on, another problem arose, this time on board the starship Vigilant Eagle, which suffered a sudden rupture of the cooling systems of engines number 1 and number 3, which caused overheating and bursting of lubricant gaskets, causing toxic fumes which filled the entire ship's engineering. The ship started to lose orbital altitude, but was quickly corrected. Captain Nysa Ovil declared an emergency, and proceeded to move the crippled starship to dock with the large maintenance starship, Saska 1, to receive assistance. 7 of his crew members were sick from smoke inhalation, but would later recover well. It was later determined that the starship Vigilant Eagle was unrepairable here in Earth's orbit, and the crew of Saska 1 opted to tow the crippled starship back home to Temma. The very beautiful, but old and unreliable, starship Vigilant Eagle was nearing the end of its service life. As we had planned and discussed before, Captain Nysa Ovid of the Vigilant Eagle and his crew were to go to Talika City Spaceport, back in Temma, to take control over the brand new Hyades class, Starship Sindriel, which had just been finished, and was already scheduled to replace the aging Vigilant Eagle anyway. At the beginning of December 2024, A total of 504 volunteers had been accumulated in Talika City, all ready to crew the starships Sardiclea and Big E. Our friends on the Sardiclea would remain on board and with their usual roles and tasks, yet they would have to learn to coexist and work with a full crew, and no longer be in isolation, as a minimum 30 crew team. As for Big E, almost all her cadets would return to Temma. After all, they were only learning how to crew a starship, and would be replaced by highly trained people who had volunteered from other ships of the fleet. The new captain, and ex-first officer of the Alcyon, Max Oliveira, took control over Starship Big E at the beginning of the month, and awaited the arrival of the new crew from Temma, arriving on board the Starship Saska 1, and its new escort, the new Starship Sindriel, which arrived on the 5th of December, 2024. As they arrived, Goriel and Thale's crew organized the new arrivals, and assigned more or less half of them to the Sardiclea, leaving the most experienced ones for the Big E. A few days later, I moved from the Starship Alcyon to the Starship Big E, where I was accommodated in a special large private room, which would be my more or less permanent residence from now on. It is from there where I write these words, as I have now installed myself and all my things on board Starship Big E. I am still being escorted and under the protection of highly trained military teams from the starships Alcyon and Asterope, who will remain as my guards for some time, until my new crew gets up to speed with everything that must be done and organized. I miss living on the starship Alcyon. I miss all its strange noises and the crudity of its interiors, which contrasts a lot with the warmth and respect I received from her crew. Initially, I had expressed my concern about the integrity and reliability of the aging Starship Alcyon, fearing some mishap may place everyone in danger as had just happened on the Starship Vigilant Eagle. Yet Captain Goriel always assured me that although the Alcyon has been in service many years and has seen a lot of action, she is in good shape and capable of handling anything. Goriel explained that when the crash with the Starship Saska 1 occurred, he did not see limping the Alcyon back to Temma for repairs, as he saw the incident as an opportunity to further train his super-efficient crew to handle a big crisis, far from home and in deep space. Needless to say, his crew is especially well-trained and very tough. All this chain of events started when the Irma took me on board their starship for me to have a strong experience to cure me of bad psychosomatic diabetes, which would be only the first of a long list of horrible illnesses and things I had to go through in the last months. Removing me from the contained and isolated Sardiclea opened my mind and my resources, expanding my view and my capacity to be a good queen. It also brought me to see and understand my own mortality, because at more than one point I was sure this was the end for me, and I even started to take important steps to leave things as best as I could, if I would die. It looks like strong and organized forces don't want me to exist, they want me dead, which I see as a clear indication that I am on the right path, and that I must press on. This was a very elaborate attack against my life, against DK's, specifically, and even against former Queen Alanim, as what attacked her months ago, is now understood, came from the very same source. Source Goriel and Thale's research teams have identified in full, as clear evidence has been found, and we will be taking steps against them. Yet it is not advisable to disclose who, what, and how they did this to us, publicly, perhaps later on, but I cannot know when. After all this that went on, and is still going on, I also learnt that our friends on the Talika, now Sardiclea, are in no way representative of the Tejetan people and population. They are a group of their own, with their personality and needs strongly influenced by Earth's culture. Therefore, they became a mixture of both worlds. Yet, I insist, they are not a good representation of how Tajitans are in general as a culture. Here in Earth's orbit, that honor is for the valiant and super-efficient crew members of the starships, Alcyone and Asterope, who took on the problem directly and fearlessly, saving the day and the lives of all our friends on the Sardiclea and my own. On the Sardiclea, our old friends seem to be getting along well with their numerous new crew and have expressed being happy and in good spirits. Except for little Yaji Sophia, who is still missing, and we do not know where she may be as we have already looked for her in all her usual hiding and playground places. To be continued, as a lot more ramifications and consequences are still ongoing. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend, Marie.